Pastor Blake, the word that he brought is just exactly where we're at. We're in a time, amen, when I walked in, somebody said, how you doing? I said, I'm getting ready. Amen, because I want you to understand something that God has been putting on my heart, and that is Jesus is coming. And God has been doing some wonderful things, great things, powerful things. And I went to sleep with a scripture on my mind last night, and it was 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And when I woke up to the same scripture. And it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And if you understand something, it's capitalized Spirit. And where the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's something that we need to understand this morning and understand in our lives and understand as pastors and understand as disciples is that there's liberty in God. There's freedom in God. There's a ability to be who you are and not to be anybody else, but there's a liberty in God that comes in your life where you're able to stand for the things of God and stand on the promises of God and declare the word of the Lord to the people today and tell them that there's a Savior that wants to set them free. A Savior that wants to change their lives. A Savior that wants to come in and rebuild a whole family. Rebuild a drug addict's life. Rebuild somebody that is bound by poverty and bound by all these different things. That today there is liberty. And I want you to understand something. We are the people of God. We are pastors of God. And we need to stand up and begin to declare that there is liberty in the Spirit of God. I'm tired of the charismatic things. I'm tired of all the rituals. I'm tired of all the teaching, of all the different books, of all the different things. I want you to understand something. I've fallen in love with Jesus. There's no book, amen, that can tell me how to be. I just fallen in love with Jesus. I've fallen in love with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know He is the one that transforms our lives, that transforms our minds, transforms our bodies. He is the healer. He is the comforter. He is the counselor. There is nothing that we cannot do without Jesus. Just getting warmed up. Amen. Ain't nothing like a good fight. Get warmed up and let's go. You know, I was listening to that fight about Pastor Josh, and I said, man, I wish I was there. I said, tag me, let me get in. Tag me, I'm ready. You know, there's nothing about a good fight with the devil. For the last 6 months, I've been battling and fighting and fighting and battling and getting up and getting down, wiping off the tears, wiping off the blood, wiping off all the things. And then one day I just said, you know what? I give up. I quit. I give up. I quit relying on myself. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. I want to preach on this morning the difference between desire and wanting. Desire versus wanting. When Tony and Kendra were getting engaged, I didn't know Tony at all. I knew he came to church. This is my daughter and my son-in-law. I knew he came to church in Colorado Springs. I knew his dad and his mom, and I knew his grandfather, and I said, there's good lineage here. But I didn't know anything about Tony. So Tony, one day, he shows up at the house, and he's messing with my daughter now, you know, so daddy's got to step in. So Tony comes in, and, you know, I'm looking at him and checking him out, sizing him up, you know, going the first round, you know, thinking what I'm going to say to him and see what he's going to say to me. And Tony says, Pastor Rod, I want to date Kendra. I said, really? I said, yeah. And I was just wondering, would it be all right if I call her and take her out and, you know, take her to the movie or take her to a concert, a Christian concert, and, you know, just get to know her. And I'm sitting there trying to, you know, manipulate him and trying to, you know, make him feel like he's, you know, small and all this stuff. And, you know, looking at him and wondering if he's going to, you know, just sweat out of his body, you know. And he says, but I'd like to come take her out. I said, fine. Take her out. Get her back here at this time. So he did. He took her out. I'm waiting, you know, looking out the window, looking out the door, you know, trying to do it, you know, so they, if they do pull up, they don't think I'm watching and stuff, because I'm worried too. You know? So they go out, and he comes to Denver, and they go out, and they go out, and they go out, and then he comes up to me, you know, with this crazy thought that he wants to marry her. And I'm thinking to myself, man, now you stepped over the line. He says, I want to marry her. And I said, well, how are you going to marry her if you're in Colorado Springs and she's here? He goes, well, I'll come up and I'll, you know, visit her. And I'll spend the night. And, you know, we'll get to know each other really well. And, you know, we'll see what God happens, you know, to do. I said, okay. So the first day he comes, and he comes to the house, and I don't know what they're thinking, but it's late. And I know he's not going to stay at my house. You know, I don't know what they're thinking. He's going to sleep upstairs and she's going to sleep downstairs or the opposite, you know. But I know one thing, they're not. So I say to him, Tony, we have a room at the church in our office there. And our church building at that time was a costume place of scary things at that time. They said they had these scary parties in the basement of this church and all these different things. And I'm thinking to myself, if this guy is really real, if he really desires to have my daughter's hand in marriage, I'm going to see if he'll stay in the church at night alone. So Tony, you know, it's getting late. You don't need to get a hotel, but you're not staying here. And here's the key to the church. I was afraid to be in the church. Yeah. So let's see if this guy has enough desire to stay in the church. So Tony stayed in the church that night, and I was wondering, you know, if he was going to come back. You know, but he was there first thing, and they're in love, and, you know, they're, you know, just in love and talking sweetness and all these different things. And then he says, well, you know, I think I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to take care of Kendra when we get married, I just want her. I desire her. He said, I said, all right, Tony. If you desire her that much, get a job, and I want you in every service. Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday night, if you're going to live up here. He talked it over, and he moved his stuff. He got a little bitty apartment. I mean, this thing was just small, and, you know, I wouldn't live there, but he desired her. He lived there. And he got a job, and he told me how much he's making. I said, that's not enough, man. What you thinking? It's not enough money to take care of my daughter, man. I put thousands into her. 18,000, 19,000, man, and you want to take care of her with $5 an hour jobs and just part-time jobs. You know, I've invested thousands, man. You think I'm going to hand her over to you and give her to you and you know, you're going to mess up her life or you both are going to be messed up for this? You know, you got to get another job, Tony. But you got to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. I desire her, I desire her. I want her. I said, all right, get another job. Tony worked. I don't know how he did it. When you're young, you don't have to sleep, I found out. He worked at King Supers. I think it was like 11 o'clock until 5 in the morning. At 8 o'clock, he worked at U-Haul from 8 o'clock till like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and he made it to every church service. Why did he do that? Desire. Want is a dream. Desire is emotion. I want a lot of things. And the things that I want, what I want, I don't put a lot of emotion into those because I don't desire those things. I just want them. But when I desire it, I put something into motion. When I desire it, I'm going to sell out everything I can to accomplish that desire. When I want it, I can have it or not. And if I don't have it, it's all right. But when I desire something, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to sell out. I'm going to give up. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to do it because I desire what God wants for my life. I quit settling for want. I desire. And this is where the Lord is speaking. Jesus, he's speaking to the disciples. And he tells the disciples in chapter 9 of this chapter. He says, I want you to take off. And I want you to begin to do the things that I do. Says, I want you to go out and I don't want you to carry a bed. I don't want you to carry money. I don't want you to carry anything. But what I want you to do is just believe me, just trust me, and do what I do. The disciples went out and they go out and they go and have a revival, a mini rally. They had a mini rally, a mini revival. And they're telling people about Jesus. They're telling them about the good news. They're laying hands on the sick and the sick are recovering. They're believing God for all these different things. And then they come back and they tell Jesus about everything that they did. And Jesus said, that's great. Then he says to them, let's feed this crowd that has come out to see me. The disciples kind of forget all the stuff. How many know that when we're disciples and we're pastoring churches, sometimes we just forget what God has done, what God has taught us. We forget, we want, but we don't desire. So he tells the disciples, feed these people. We just have a few fish and some loaves of bread. And Jesus, I could just see him just shaking his head, Didn't you learn anything with me? So he grabs that few fish and he grabs that bread and he prays and they scatter it about. And he was showing them the desire to touch them people. And then later on, and this is where we pick up the text. It says in verse 23, and this is my text this morning. It says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, you ought to underline that word desire because it doesn't say want. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, Let him take. Let him deny himself. You ought to underline that word, deny. And then it says, and take up his cross daily. Now you need to underline, take up. Then he says, and follow me. Remember, you ought to underline that too, because all four of those words come after the word desire, not want. He says in verse 24, for whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Listen to this, disciple. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man, notice that's capitalized, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Then he says in verse 27, he says, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Today I want to preach on having a desire and not just a want. A desire. I'm thinking of all the things I've ever desired. The price I had to pay to get there. I think of, you know, when we had a company, I was listening to what Pastor Josh said, and when I walked away from this drywall company and I started my own, that boss, he looked at me and he told me the same thing. He said, you know what, you won't be successful. As a matter of fact, I'll make sure you don't succeed. But see, there's something there when a person knows who God is. There's something about a person that will just believe God. Are there trials? Are there waters? Are there times where we feel like we're sinking? When there's times when we don't think that there is an answer? Are there times when we feel like we're the only one? Are there times when we feel like God's not even moving, or God has turned his face from us, or God is not answering our prayer? I want you to know there are times like that. There are times when we don't feel the presence of God. There are times when I pray. I tell you what, I went through something with God like Pastor Portnova did, but this thing was different. I was praying, and I was praying for people, and I was praying and about all the different complaints that I had in my life. I was bringing everything up from the money to the building to the house to the kids to whatever, and everything it seemed like I prayed was a complaint to God. God, why aren't you doing this? God, why aren't you helping me here? God, why aren't you doing this? And God, he told me, he said, with a good voice, a strong voice in my heart, he said, why don't you just shut up? For 2 weeks, this is the honest truth, I'd go to pray and I had nothing to say, because everything I prayed was a complaint. Have you ever been there? God, why? God, when? God, where? God, how? He says, shut up. So then I said, I'm going to fast. I'm going to do a 21-day fast. I told Pastor Jerry, you wanted to fast with me 21 days? Yeah, we'll go. And you can't fast when the guy you're working with takes you to McDonald's to drink coffee. You know? First week, man, we made it. We're working hard. I'm being real. I know some of you guys, you shine your halo every day, you know? But I'm being real. thinking to myself, you know, I got to get a hold of God somehow. Fasting's it. And here, you know, me and Pastor Jerry go drink a cup of coffee at McDonald's and I tell him all my blues, man. We look at each other and don't cry. I said, "You broken? Broken, man. You broken? Broken. Remember? We're both tearing up in McDonald's. Happy place." Happy meals. We look like two old men with problems, man. Tears. I'm not talking little tears. Big tears. Are you broken? Yes. I'm broken too. But God's going to use us. God's going to help us. God's going to strengthen us. Why? Because we don't want a revival. We desire a revival. We don't want church. We want the power of God. We don't want just an experience. We want the presence of God to come in. I don't want to go to church anymore where we just come and clap hands and shake hands and high five and do all the different things. I want the presence of God in our church. I want the Holy Spirit to move. I want people to walk in with a fear, wondering what's going to happen here today. Desire, not a want. I was thinking about Noah. Think about the desire. Everybody wanted to get on the ship, on the ark, when it started to rain. But nobody had a desire to help him build the ark. But oh, let me tell you, when that first drop of rain, they never seen rain. They didn't know what rain was. But when that first drop of rain hit the dirt, I want you to know that there was a change of attitude. The attitude was, I no longer want, I desire now to get on the ship. But it was too late. Not everybody, listen to me, Pastor, not everybody gets on the ark. Let it go. Sometimes let them go. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. But let me tell you, to have the presence of God in your church instead of this, who's who and what's what and all this different things and having the flock and having all the different things, I want you to know sometimes it's just all right to let it go. It's having a desire. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you wanting to desire? Do you want desire in that church? I remember when we first got saved, some nights I'd be a Wednesday night, and I remember a fear would come over me to go to church because I knew how I was living. I knew that, you know, there was compromise in my life. I knew that there was sin in my life. I knew that there was things in my life that weren't right. And there was a fear that God was going to bring me to a point of, dealing with this situation. Thank God we had a pastor that stood up in that altar, and he didn't care about the numbers, but he cared about our lives, and he cared about who we were, and he cared about us making heaven our home and not building just a church of great things, but he wanted to see lives. He had a desire to see souls saved, and he wasn't afraid to say, hey, you know what? Fornication is wrong. He wasn't afraid to stand in the pulpit and say, you know what, smoking dope, living wild, drinking, and doing all these things that the world said is all right. I want you to know he said it was wrong. It'd show in the Word of God why it was wrong. And it'd show in the Word of God that sin makes us a slave to sin. And the more we live for that sin, the more we became slaves to the devil. And he said, listen to me. I want you to understand something. Jesus changes lives. Jesus sets free. Jesus brings deliverance. Jesus gives us a way to live. And our whole family gets saved. And God does a miracle. Listen, I guarantee today, I'd be in prison. I guarantee today, either I'd be dead. But thank God somebody had the guts enough to stand up. I want you to know, in your city, there are people that are there that are lost. I'm not talking about running their lives. I'm telling you to stand up and tell them that Jesus delivers. I was just thrilled. Pastor Chris took that picture from Pastor Eric's church and stuck it there and said, here's a testimony. You don't believe it? Look at the picture. He could have said, you know what? He could have told that woman, go on your way. He could have told her, keep coming to him. Keep coming to church. God will bring you another. But he said, no, you know what? Desire this. Desire it. There's a desire we need. There's a desire. There's two things that I want to share with you about desire. Three things. Desire is action. The older I get, I find out that I want to rest more. But then I look at this generation, and I say, if I don't keep going, this generation might give up. It's a totally different generation. You know, sometimes I'll shake some of I judge people by their hands. In the construction trade. Not every, you know, I don't shake somebody's hand in my church and I say, well, you know, I know where you're from. I'm talking about the construction trade. Because they brag, everybody's the greatest in construction. I'm the greatest. So when I shake somebody that says they're the greatest hand, I feel their hand. If it's soft and wimpy in the construction trade, I know that you don't do much, man. You're the guy holding the sign. Just flip it every once in a while. You want to be in the ditch. You want to be working hard. You want to, but you just don't desire it. You want it. Then I shake the guy that's all gritty, man, and he's got dirt in his hands, you know, and under his nails, and you know, he grabs you, you know, and it hurts, and I think to myself, now this guy, I want him to build my bridge. Amen. This guy, I want him to, you know, build my house. This guy, because, you know, he's a worker. It's character in working. There's a desire. But see, lots of times we want to just look on the outsides and we don't want to get dirty at all. But see, God says, if you want to do my will, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a part of what I'm doing, then you're going to have to get inside and you're going to have to desire me. Desire. You have to take action. You have to work. It doesn't come overnight. It comes by work. Work, doing things that you don't want to do, getting up when you don't want to get up, going on outreach when it's just you, preaching on sin, and everybody else is, you know, wondering when pastor's going to finish, amen, and you're just doing what God says. There's a desire to see souls saved. It's a motion. It's an action. The second thing that you're going to have to do if you want to follow Christ is you're going to have to deny. deny. Not very many people today want to deny. Got the comfort zone of life now. Every house has air conditioning. It's not like the old days when my mom and dad were growing up and they had to go to an outhouse. They didn't have all the pleasures and everything, but there's something about a person that wants to do the will of God that will deny self. Pastor Maloney, in his message, he said he denied that job. He denied it. One time we had a wealthy man come into our church, and I thought maybe this is the ticket. I'll just, put him on wherever. He wants to sit up front, I'll have him up front. And, if he wants to sit in the back, he can sit, if he wants, whatever he wants to do. I'm thinking, man, this guy's a millionaire, man. If I can hook him in, if I can reel him in, if I can, convince him that I'm cool and I'm okay, he'll stay. And, he'll probably load off, maybe $1,000 a week or something like that. And I'm thinking all these things. And then I get Pastor Bland to come preach a revival for me. And I told, hey, Pastor Bland, this guy's a rich guy. And he says, keep away from him. Choices. Later on, this guy is through a family, and between another person and him that doesn't even go to our church is constantly putting us down. His wife is constantly on Facebook. She don't even come to our church, but constantly putting us down, constantly saying things about it. They don't even care about us, but they hate the word of God. And that word saved me. It's turning down some things that seem they're great. It's taking the hard trail sometimes instead of the easy. There's a denial of self. It's not going to be what you think. When you go out, let me tell you, it's not what you think. I could tell you the worst easier than I could tell you the best, because the worst seemed like it always haunts you, goes to sleep with you, wakes up with you. And you need God to change your heart, and you need God to rebuild you, and you need God to soften you, and you need God to change your life, and you need God to pour in love into you, and you need God to pour love out of you. It's a denial of self. You become basically a tool for God. And sometimes you'll lay down your life, and people will walk on you, and people will stand on you, and people will even, they'll do all kinds of different things to you. But when God comes back and he meets you and he puts you back together, you grow, and there's a new peace, and there's a new joy, and there's a new fight. But you have to learn to deny the world, deny the flesh, deny temptation, deny sin. Colossians 3, 2 and 5 says, set your minds on things above and not on things of this earth. For you died. I mean, know that when you got saved, you died. I mean, I died. My old man, he tries to live every once in a while, but, I got to kill him again because I've died. He says, set your minds on things above, not on the things of earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Listen to me. Deny it. Kill self. Live for God. Do the will of God. Do God's plan. In the end, we rise up with victory. We rise up and we come back with Jesus on a horse. We come back and we come with our Lord and our Savior in the victory of God. Let me tell you, what you feel now, it isn't nothing to what you're going to have later. Amen. Quit letting your emotions drive you. Do the will of God. Deny the flesh and do what God says, and you'll see God do mighty miracles. And the last one is you must pick up your cross and follow him. This means putting the desire into action. This means not holding back for the kingdom of God. Giving yourself, giving your time, giving your finances, giving your life, giving God the desire, giving God, amen, control of your heart. It's letting God be first. What are you willing to give up, God? What are you willing to give up to God? Ask yourself that question today. Do you desire the will of God? Do you desire revival? Do you desire the presence of the Holy Spirit to come into your church? What are you willing to give up? God told me in October, and you can ask Pastor Jerry, he woke me up all through, after the conference, all through November and December, he woke me up every morning about 3 o'clock. And I told Pastor Jerry, he woke me up again. And he said, get ready. I'm cleaning the house. And I'd pray, God, you know, I don't understand what, you know, the fluff or, you know, God, what are you cleaning? What is it? I said, I'm cleaning the house. I said, okay, God. January came, beginning of the year, I started preaching on the Holy Spirit, letting him have full control. I got my people together, and I said to them, listen, your leaders, there's a standard to live for Christ. Holiness. We have to, if you're going to be in front of everybody, there's a standard you're going to have to live. Holiness. That means cut off the world. Is there that standard anymore? Take the earrings out. Quit the trash. I said, we want God here. Close that meeting. Everybody was hurrah, hurrah. We're going to take the land for Jesus. Had one couple rise up because they didn't like it. I confronted them because they were doing some things behind me, and I confronted them. And you know what? 35 people left the church. I sat in my living room, freaked out, held my wife's hand. So we desire God's will. We're going to see it. I said, you hold on. Don't quit on me. Don't quit. Told my kids, don't quit. Don't care. Let him go. God's cleaning the house. He told me this. Get ready. We're just believing God. Am I failing? No, I'm not. No, I'm right in the middle where God put me. Not everybody got on the ark, but everybody was told Jesus is coming. You're going through it. You're struggling. Maybe you don't feel like it. Let the feelings go. Let go of the emotions. Seek the face of God. Let God turn your heart. Let God change you. You'll come out a conqueror. You'll come out better than when you went in. Jesus. Listen, church. Jesus is coming. Get your church ready. Start training those people. Disciple them. Don't put up. Don't compromise. Jesus is coming. Hold on. And we'll see the power of God flow like never before. Heaven is our home. Victory is ours. Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this place. Holy Spirit, speak to us through the rest of the day, Lord, this message with Pastor Gould. Have your way, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord. The Spirit brings liberty. In Jesus' name, Amen, Pastor.